So I want to talk today about, I don't know, you want to talk about faith, unbelief, or doubt? But this is a situation. I believe all of us know Jesus doesn't like this one. So please make sure, that's why I draw a line here, so you won't go to this area. Alright, this is where Jesus wants us to be. But as a human being, where are we most often at? Yeah? So the question is, it okay to have doubt? Because when I grew up as a Christian, he said, you gotta have faith. So I try to have faith all the time, but you know what? I have a lot of doubts. The more I read the Bible, the more doubts I have. Imagine when Jesus said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain move and it will move. Yeah. It makes me doubt, you know. Right? And look at the way Jesus walked with his disciples and he healed the sick, and more doubts come in. And it's like, well, Jesus could do that. And if Jesus said he wants to live in me, then I'm supposed to be able to be doing all this stuff, right? But in reality, that don't happen in my life. So I doubt. Look at this man, right? We know this verse. This is from Mark 9. He has a boy, possessed by the spirit, couldn't even speak. And the father came to Jesus, said, please, heal my boy. And Jesus said, you believe me? He said, yes, I believe. But help my unbelief. So you have belief and unbelief. So which way is he at right now? Okay? I believe you, Jesus, but help my unbelief. It definitely has doubt. So is it wrong to have doubt? Faith is not the absence of doubt. As a human being, we have doubt and fear. I remember the first time I went back to Indonesia. And I remember I evangelized on the street. Because that's been quite a few years for me in the States. So I came back. I lost some new friends. And I remember evangelizing on the street and meeting with so many Muslims. And you know, after evangelizing for 50 people, no one really responded well. So I was like, maybe they're not open. Actually, deep inside, I was fearful. Fear of rejection. Fear that they will beat me up. Because I look around, everyone is Muslim. And I start doubting whether this country is open or not. But I know Jesus promised that he will be with me. I just need to go and spread the word, make disciples. I believe that verse. I believe his promise. Amen. But in reality, when I look at things around me, I start doubting. And I fear. In fact, when you have faith in the Word of God, you'll be likely to have doubt. And that's very normal. But the question is it okay to doubt? Today I want us to learn from Matthew 11. And we're going to learn from one man. His name is John the Baptist. He's a pretty fired up guy. Right? It's amazing. He came before Jesus was born and just make sure that he prepared a way for Jesus. And look at what happened to him. I'll read it from Matthew 11 verse 2. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? John was in prison. He was an outdoor guy. He loves to be outdoor. He was a pretty wild man. And all of a sudden, he was put to prison. Because he boldly told Herod that what he did was wrong, getting his brother's wife. That's the reason why he was in prison. He was very bold. He preached about Jesus. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And he was the one that baptized Jesus. And he believed that he is the Messiah. No one at that time believed that Jesus is Messiah. But John the Baptist believed that. But now, after being probably about an imagine outdoor guy, now in a little prison. Indoor. That's pretty tough. So he started doubting and he was like, okay, Messiah is supposed to come and free the captive. He quoted from Isaiah. He knows the scripture pretty well, right? And he was like, what happened to me? He waited 1 week, 1 month, few months. And now, the scripture said, is this the guy? Or maybe I'm just wrong. So he sent his disciples to go and meet Jesus. Now, why did John the Baptist doubt? Number one, because he's in the prison. Very difficult situation, right? That happened to me. When a difficult situation happened to me, and I start doubting. I have fear, and I start doubt. And that's very normal. That happened to John the Baptist as well. Secondly, unmet expectation. Because you know what Isaiah prophesied. For example, from Isaiah 61 verse 1, that he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. That is the idea of the Jews that time. That actually the Messiah is going to come and free them up. And really build his empire. So they're thinking, this is what Jesus is supposed to be doing. This is their expectation. But somehow, it didn't happen. Even John the Baptist started doubting that. Because of difficult situation and unmet expectation. Thirdly, because of limited knowledge or perception. His understanding about Messiah was limited, even though he was able to see Jesus during his lifetime. But his knowledge is already much better than Isaiah. For Isaiah was still far away, still really blurred. But for him, at least he was able to meet Jesus, but somehow the promise just not fulfilled. So these are the three things that happened to John the Baptist. The question is God okay when you doubt? Is God okay when John the Baptist doubt? Doubt can bring you to two different directions. God has no problem with doubt when it brings you closer to Him and strengthen your faith. But if doubt leads you to a different direction that leads you to sin or makes you further from Him, God is not pleased with that. So the question is, when you have doubt, which direction you tend to go? Faith? Are you getting to sin or getting further from Him? You know, we can learn from the life of John the Baptist when he doubted. What are the things that he did? Number one, he said in the Bible, in the scripture, to ask Him. He sent his disciples not to other people. Even though when he is doubtful, he sent his disciples still to Jesus. So, he always seek answer from Him. So, that doubt brings him closer to Jesus. You know, secondly, in verse 4, Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Jesus didn't give answer. You know what? Just tell John. Just believe. No. Jesus didn't rebuke John's disciple and said, you know, go and tell John, you know what, I'm really upset with him. Jesus gave some proof. He said, you know what, tell John what you hear and see. This is what I like about our God. God knows. He gave us senses here. So definitely he just doesn't tell us here, you know what, if you don't, just go and believe. No, no, no. What do you see? What do you hear? But certainly Jesus did not give John the answer that he wants to have. But he gave enough proof for him to believe. He said, look, look here and see. The blind receive sight. When was the last time you see the blind receive sight? When was the last time you see the lame walk? When was the last time you see the dead are raised? Good news. When was the last time? Go tell John that. These things are happening. But, yes, the captives are still in the prison. Jesus didn't go and all of a sudden release all the captives just to please John. But he knows that John needs some proof. But God always works that way. Jesus gave enough evidence for people to believe him. But not all that you want and I want. Verse 6. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. This was the exact word that John's disciple went back and told John. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. John the Baptist understand that. Basically, once he heard that, he never complained anymore. I've never read that in the scripture. And I believe John the Baptist believed that. And he joyfully obeyed that until his death. Because he never sent his disciples again to ask from Jesus. So three things that John the Baptist did right that pleased God, even though he doubted. Number one, he seek the answer from him. Secondly, he really trusts what the Bible says, what the Word of God says, what Jesus said. And thirdly, he doesn't need any more proof. He just obey and submit, even though he has to spend the rest of his life in the prison. He just submit joyfully. So, my question is Jesus pleased with him? Let's read on verse 7. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. Wow, can you imagine? When disciples of John the Baptist left, and Jesus looked to the crowd and he started telling them, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you... I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, that means include us here. Right? There is not reason anyone greater than John the Baptist. He's the greatest. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What does he mean? Jesus basically is so proud of John the Baptist. He said, you know what? Amongst all men ever born of women, this is the greatest. Now the question is, does that mean that he is greater than Elijah? He's greater than Jeremiah? Isaiah? This guy is pretty awesome. Look at their ministry, what they did to God. It's amazing. I studied the life of Ezekiel. I thank God that he doesn't call me as Ezekiel. Lay 390 days and then 40 days. 430 days. With limited amount of food and water. Does that mean that John the Baptist is greater than even Ezekiel? And then he said, this is a secret. But yet, everyone in this room is greater than he. So what is it? What is it that Jesus really mean here? He's not talking that John the Baptist's ministry is better than Isaiah. No, no, no. He's talking about John the Baptist's privilege. Because Isaiah, Jeremiah, they prophesied about Jesus. They love God. They talk about Jesus, but they're so far away. They didn't really understand exactly what they're talking about. But now, John the Baptist share with Christ. He has the privilege of knowing Christ. And he said, all of us here in this room are greater than John the Baptist. Because you know what? We see the clear picture of Christ today. Today, to forgive your sin and my sin. Which Isaiah couldn't comprehend. We have a much, much greater privilege today. And we have a much, much better position today to understand Christ. Much, much more complete. We have much, much more clear picture of our Savior today and our Lord today because of Jesus. So today, actually, there's no excuse for us to not trust Jesus more than even Isaiah and Jeremiah. It's okay to doubt, but we have the whole Bible today. So when you have time, do you go and study up the scripture. And thank God because God, this is amazing. We have New Testament today. We look at it and we're like, wow. That's amazing. That should actually strengthen our faith. You know, I thank God for allowing doubts to happen in my life. Because when I doubt, I realize there must be something that is still not right with me. Either my perception is not right, or maybe my understanding about Jesus is not right, or maybe I have a wrong expectation. So, for example, I remember when I went back to Indonesia, I was actually a weak Christian because I never want to go back to Indonesia. I hate corruption. So I always want to stay in America. But because we got married, Vanya couldn't get a visa. So I had to go back. Somehow God forced me back. And then I hate it. I want to go back. I love the church in Chicago. And I met with, the Louis. And I purposely want to be weak. So they won't ask me to stay in Indonesia. That's exactly what happened, right? So I created problems in the church. I always came 20 minutes late to church. Sit at the back, critical. Leave early. Look at me and Vanya. But that's the whole purpose. Because I want to go back to America. The land of milk and honey. You know, but God has, somehow God just worked it out. My company in America said, you know what, we're going to hire Vanya. This is one of the top big six company in America. We're going to hire Vanya. It didn't work out. I was doubting Jesus. I said, look at the scripture. I said, where is your promise? Because honestly, when I became disciple in Chicago, the first 3 weeks, I was fruitful three times. Everything went so well. And I love it to be disciples. And all of a sudden, I have to go back to Indonesia, facing the corruption, the traffic jam everywhere. I didn't like it. You know what? That forced me to study the scripture. When I looked into the scripture, and I was like, I have a wrong expectation about being of Christian life. I'm supposed to be ready. I'm supposed to be a servant. My life supposed to be for Jesus, not for myself anymore. You know what? I wrestled for 4 months. But it brought me closer to Jesus. Helped me to understand the scripture much, much, much better than before. When life was so smooth. There's a lot of perceptions. Wrong perception that I had, I got to throw away. I remember I went back to Indonesia. I evangelized. In Chicago, I was easy to be fruitful. I went back to Indonesia. I got rejected by hundreds and hundreds of people. I don't know how many people said, I'm going to come to Bible talk. They said, yeah, I follow up. They all lied. They never show up. Then I realized this is the culture of Indonesia. They don't want to say no. They said, yes, but they never show up. In America, they said no, but they show up. The rejection. I remember one time I look at people, I already decided they are not open. And I got to look into the scripture again. I pray, get together with the brothers, and really believe that the harvest is plentiful. Yeah. Should I believe the harvest is plentiful, or should I believe my own experience? I don't know where are you at right now. What I know is you are in a great church. Collectively, you are in a great church. Yeah. Melbourne Church has been blessed. You guys have grown. So many great disciples. Yeah. How are you doing spiritually? It's okay to have doubt. But whenever you have doubt, does that bring you closer to Jesus? Or does that bring you further from Jesus? Amen? Yes. So, it's good for our faith to be recalibrated, right? Yeah. That's what I like about GPS. Yeah. When I go, like this morning, I go to different direction, recalculating, bring me back, right? So it's okay. But you gotta really listen to Jesus. Yeah. No, Jesus said, you just need this much faith. And I tried in my early years as a Christian to get more and more and more faith. And I hate it when I have doubt. But now I change my position. When I have doubt today, I go to Him. And every time I have doubt, actually brings me closer to Jesus. And I just love it. Because that helped me to understand the Bible better. And to throw away the misconception or misperception that I have. And to recalibrate my faith. Now, the danger is unbelief. You don't want to go there. Yeah. Right? So, let's continue reading in verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept that he is Elijah who was to come, whoever has ears, let them hear. So, What is greatness according to Jesus? Intelligence? Wealth? Courage? Work? Giving? This is actually what the world tells us. You are great because of your wealth. You are great because you are smart. You know what Jesus said? And he used the case of John the Baptist. The guy that has doubt. He said, this man is the greatest. Why is the greatest? Because he always humbled himself and wanted to listen to Jesus, no matter what the situation is. So, and then Jesus continued in verse 16. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. Eating no demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. So no matter what you did, people will criticize you. John the Baptist came, this guy is weird. Jesus came, this guy is a drunkard. I mean, no matter what you do. So this is a reality. That can create doubts in you, that can create fear in you. But you know what? No matter what, you gotta trust Jesus. And to what should I compare this generation with? Verse 20. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. This is what Jesus against. Jesus doesn't against if you doubt. But Jesus against if people don't repent. He preached, he allows certain situation happening in our life, but we still don't repent. You know, so sad today, you go to Chorazin, Bethsaida, you didn't see anything because it's cursed by Jesus. And then verse 23, he said, and you, Capernaum. This was basically like Jesus' hometown for his ministry in Galilee. He said, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. When Jesus said that, he meant it. Sodom was pretty bad. Tyre and Sidon, pretty bad. In fact, if you really know Tyre, Alexander the Great, when he came over and conquered, you know what happened? The whole city was broken down. Because people in Tyre thought Alexander is great, he has a great army, but he will not be able to go and cross the sea to that island. So what they did is they went to the one island. What Alexander the Great did? He told his army, you know what? Tear down the whole building here. So they put all the bricks and built a bridge. So they went down to that little island and conquered the people in Tear. Easy, according to what Jesus said. So he said, you know, it's more bearable for Sodom, Tear, and Sidon than for people that don't repent and be indifferent. You know what? That gives me a relief. Yeah. Because for me, at least I have doubt. But I still want to repent. I don't come to church. I don't go every day in my life and be indifferent. Jesus hated it. If there's something, if you start seeing things and be indifferent about it, you see the poor being indifferent about it. You see your brothers and sisters be indifferent about it. You see your life not fruitful and be indifferent about it. You don't have the fruit of the Spirit and somehow you're being indifferent about it. That's dangerous. Yeah. That can bring us to unbelief, not faith. Yeah. Come on. I'll close out verse 25. At that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, Because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. What Father? You and I can't see the Father. But when you see Jesus, it reveals the Father. How many people today in the world say, how can you believe God? You can't even see God. I tell them, I have the Son. I have Jesus. When I see Jesus, it's amazing. Because that's God. That's God. We got to love like Jesus loved. We got to walk like Jesus walked. And in verse 28, he said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm a workaholic. And I'm still a workaholic. But let me tell you the difference. I really enjoy my Christian life today. It's not so much because life is easy, not so much because of so much blessing God has given. But one big difference is, today I become a Christian, a disciple. There's much more. Some. In the past, I want to have more faith. I do this much, and I want to make more effort. And that brings me to guilt. A lot of guilt feeling. And you know, I realize I've tried many other ways. I've tried many times and I failed. And I realize as a human being, I always fail. I was always self-doubt. But this is the key that I learned. I used to try to prove myself. Try to tell Jesus, this is what I have done. I hope you are pleased. Today is totally different direction. Today I come to Jesus. And you know what? Because he take away all my sins. No one could ever done that for me. It's his grace. I try hard as a disciple. I want to be fruitful. I want to make disciples wherever I go. I want to love people. Whoever God put in my life. But I realized I can't do that job. Only Jesus could do that. That's why I got to be able to go to him, and he will take the burden, the weight of the sin, and he will take the burden, the weight of everything that I could not do, and allow him to work through me, in me. And that's a joy to be a Christian. So today I want to tell you, it's okay to be doubtful, but make sure it brings you closer to Jesus. Amen. And not bring you further to Jesus. And eventually you go to unbeliever. Jesus doesn't want that. Amen? Amen. So I love you. Thank you very much. Okay, hope the church will keep growing and give glory to Jesus. Amen. Amen.